13, we were just there. And I know Pastor's not here, but I want to thank him for allowing me to do this today. I really do not deserve to be up here at all, but I'm thankful for the privilege. Romans chapter 13, I'm going to read verses 1 through 5 again, and then verse 7. And then we'll pray, and then we'll have the message this morning, which you guys know I'm brief, so we'll be out of here in about 30 seconds or so. Maybe not quite that bad, but we have to at least let the kids finish downstairs. So, but Romans chapter 13, verse 1 says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation, for the rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake." Verse 7 says, "Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this day, Lord, that you've given us just every Sunday, every Lord's Day. It's just a privilege to be here, Lord, and I thank you for it. Lord, I thank you for what you did a couple thousand years ago when you sent Jesus to die for our sins, Lord. And I thank you for that. I ask that you be with me now, Lord, as I present what you've laid on my heart. Lord, I want to yield my will to yours. If there's anything that I'm about to say that's contrary to your word, Lord, I ask that you would keep me from saying it. And if there's something that you would like for me to say that I maybe don't have in my notes or something, Lord, bring it to my mind, please, Lord. And I just want to do everything that will bring, I ask that everything I do bring you honor and glory, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Paul is starting out this chapter here saying, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers." Now, I heard pastors say this recently, and it's very true. We do not have a soul. We are a soul. We have a body. We live in this body. So he's starting out saying, "Let every soul be subject." So if you are here and you are a soul, if you are a human, raise your hand. Good. There's a few I wonder about sometimes. He's saying, let every soul, so that's all of us. I didn't raise my hand, but I am a human. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. I looked up that word subject, and it actually came from an old military term that means to rank under. It means to put in subjection or to submit to obey even. So I believe what Paul is telling us here is that every person, that every soul submit themselves, be in subjection, be obedient to the higher powers. And as I was thinking about this, I think submission in general is something that we as a society are really struggling with today. And I'm not just speaking in terms of law enforcement, although we see it there. But our society today has a real problem with subjection, submission. We see kids don't want to submit to mom and dad. Wives don't want to submit to husbands. Husbands, the like, don't want to love their wives. Citizens don't want to submit to authorities. We even see problems with employees and employers. Submission, I think, in today's world, being in subjection to the person of a higher rank, I think is something that we are definitely struggling with in today's world. And again, it's nothing new, but I think it is more prevalent today. I think there are probably many reasons that we are struggling with this idea of being in submission in today's world. I think one reason might be pride. We are very prideful people. We think sometimes that we're something special or we're entitled to something. We think oftentimes more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Maybe sometimes we think we should be the one in control. And there could be many reasons why we are struggling with this concept of submission. But I think why we should submit to our authorities? I think the answer is given to us here in the Bible. And with that being said, any answer we're looking for can be found in the Bible, can be found in the Word of God. We were talking about it in Sunday school this morning a little bit, and people search all over for answers. Answers to various questions, why we should do this, why this, or how come this. When if we would just look to the Bible, we could find these answers we're looking for. So anyway, over in verse 5, he says, "Wherefore ye must needs be subject." So he's about to give us the reasons that we ought to be in subjection to our higher powers, to our authorities. He says, "Wherefore ye must needs be subject." I think that means it's very imperative. It's a need. It's something that we have to do. "Wherefore we must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but for conscience' sake." There's two reasons that he gives here why we should have this attitude of submission to our authority. And again, I'm not just talking about specifically law enforcement, although that is a big authority in our life. But all of us have various authorities in many different areas of our life. And it is God's will that we be in submission to our authorities. The first reason it gives us here in verse 5, why we ought to submit to our authorities is for wrath. "Wherefore you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but for conscience' sake," for wrath. Understand this, if we do not submit, if we do not obey, if we do not put ourselves in subjection to our authority, there might be some wrath, some consequence that may occur. We use the example often of a teenager or a child, and the parents will give them a command, and we use the example of taking out the trash all the time. I guess that's because parents always have the kids take out the trash, right? How many of you, is your job to take out the trash? Absolutely. It means we were all kids once. Yes. But we'll use this example. I want you to take the trash out, put a new bag in, and if we are not in subjection to the will of our authority, the parents, there might be some sort of wrath that may occur, or some sort of consequence that may occur. It may be grounding, it may be a spanking, or whatever. But there is some sort of consequence. And I remember many times when I was younger, and I was not in subjection, and I did not submit myself to the authority, there was a wrath that incurred. There was a consequence. And it did not take me long to realize, submit to the authority. Be in subjection to the authority. And again, you might see this in the public world, in the business world. You'll have a boss that will give an instruction to one of his employees. And he'll give him a job to do. And if that employee does not submit, does not put himself in subjection to that employer, there might be some wrath that occurs there. Maybe he'll get fired, right? And again, we could go on and on. And now, speaking in terms of law enforcement, if we do not submit ourselves and we're not in subjection to the will of the officer when he stops us, there could be an even greater wrath that occurs. And as I was thinking about this, I think what makes sin so serious is this. Who we sin against, all sin is bad, and I understand this. So don't misquote me. But who we sin against could vary in consequence. Let me explain it this way. If I lie to a small child that he doesn't even know I'm lying, that's bad. God knows it, right? That's evil. That's wicked. Now, if I lie to my wife, there could be a greater consequence, a greater wrath. I hope that doesn't come back to haunt me. Now, if I lie to an officer that pulls me over, there could be an even greater consequence. If I lie to a judge, that's really bad. Now watch this. Whenever we sin, any sin, I'm getting off track here, but it's okay. Whenever we sin, every sin we commit is against God. And He is the highest authority. That's what makes sin so bad. And that's what makes not being in subjection to whoever our authority is so bad, because ultimately it's against God as well. So obviously for wrath, he says, we need to be in subjection. It's needful because there's some sort of consequence that's going to happen if we're not in subjection to our authority. Right? But he goes on. Verse 5, wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, here's the other reason, but also for conscience' sake. We all know what our conscience is, right? We must needs be subject not only for wrath, but for conscience' sake. The feeling we get when we know we've done something wrong, maybe we haven't been caught yet, our mind is working on us, that's a guilty conscience. Now understand, God put that in us. That is something that God put in us so that we know right from wrong without even being told sometimes, right? That conscience God put there. Now, I had this thought. We need to do right. And in terms of submitting to our authorities, we need to be in subjection to submit to our authorities and do right, not just because of consequences that might come, but we need to do right because it's right to do right. If there was no consequences for not submitting to our authorities, if there was no wrath, then we still ought to submit. Why? Because it's right. And in general, we need to do right just because it's right to do right. And I'm not even just talking about submitting to authorities anymore. Whatever sin, whatever thing you're thinking of, we need to do right. Because it's right to do right. Not just for wrath, not just for consequences that might come, but because of our own conscience, our own integrity tells us this is what's right. I think one problem we have today as well is we have so many people that base decisions off of feelings. We decide whether or not we're going to do right based off of what we feel. Feelings change. That is dangerous. Feelings change. We need to base our decisions, whether or not we're going to do right, based off of something that does not change. That's the Bible. That's the Word of God. We need to do right, not because we feel like doing right or because we're scared of what might happen if we don't, but we need to do right simply because it's right to do right. Good Christian people will do right regardless. We need to do right no matter how many other people are doing right. If no one else is submitting to the authority, if no one else is in subjection to the higher powers, well, I'm still going to be. We need to do right just simply because it's right to do right. Because our own conscience tells us this is what's right. So with all that being said, who is the higher powers? It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. You all have to deal with me this morning. I had a little bit of a head cold thing going on, so just deal with me. I apologize in advance. Who is this higher power? The higher power could be any position of authority that is over us. Yes, it could be local law enforcement. They are our authority. It could be a judge. I have this. Our pastor, I think, is our authority here. Maybe your boss at work, any position that is higher than you. I think, teens, we need to understand that mom and dad, they're authority. They're the higher power. They're in charge, not us. And we all have positions of authority that are higher than us. Now, we need to understand this. God is the one that placed that authority. It didn't just happen. God placed that authority. The authority, that higher power, whoever you're thinking of, that position that is over you, God ordained that position. And God allowed that person to be put in that position that he ordained. So what does it mean to be ordained? I looked this up. The word ordained means to appoint or to decree or to set or establish for a particular office or order. God has ordained many different things, and since creation, we have seen that. The first week, God ordained something. He created Adam, created Eve, and he ordained the family. He ordained marriage. He set it apart for a particular purpose, particular reason. God set it up. This is what a family is going to be. Husband, wife, mom, dad, kids. That's what a marriage is going to be. Man, woman. God ordained that. God set that up. And we can see other things throughout the Old Testament that God established. Of course, now in the New Testament, we see where God ordained the church. God set up, he established the church. And we can go to, I don't remember the exact reference. I'm just an assistant pastor, so that's okay. But we can go to where Jesus is talking with Peter. Peter says, "Thou art the Christ. You're the Christ." And he says, "Yeah, and you're Peter. And upon this rock, I will build my church." He is establishing his church. That's us. We just don't happen to be here. This was not just our idea. This was God's idea. God established the church. So we see different things that God ordained, but we need to understand this. The higher power, the authority in our lives. Just like God established the family and the church, God established, God ordained that authority. God set that up. Different countries have had different governments, sure. But God is the one that established government. Sure, mankind can get a hold of government and mess it up. We mess up everything. Humans, we're terrible. That's why we need a Savior. But the position of authority God established. I'm going to say this too, and I know a lot of people disagree with me. That's fine, okay? Like, I'm just the assistant. But here's the thing. The government we have a president that's over us. Now, whether you like the one now or not, it's irrelevant because he's the president. God ordained this government. And our founding fathers believed that more than anyone. The previous president, no matter if you liked him or not, that position that he held, God ordained that position. Like I said, humans can mess things up, sure. But God established government. And when we talk in terms of our local law enforcement, we appreciate you guys so much. God ordained that position. Are there probably some officers somewhere that might not be the greatest? Maybe, sure. I don't know any, but it doesn't matter because God established that position. God established authority. He ordained it. He set it apart. Now, with that being said, God gives us a warning to those who resist authority, whoever your authority is, mom, dad, officer, judge, boss. God gives a warning to those that resist authority. Look at verse 2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. With it being said that God placed that authority, when we fight against, when we resist that authority that's in our life, we're not just resisting that person. We're fighting against God himself. We are going against God. Now, this is serious. Now, I consider myself a pretty big guy. I'm not little. But I think there might be some guys in this world I could take that might be considered my authority. Yeah, I could take them. But here's the thing. I can't take God. I think some people are just nuts. I'm going to use that word, nuts, crazy, to try to fight against authority because they're not just fighting that authority, they're fighting God. If you resist that power, you're resisting the one that God placed over you. If you resist mom and dad, you're resisting God. You resist your boss at work, resist an officer, whatever it might be, you're resisting God. I don't know about you, but that's serious. How many of us can honestly say that we can fight God? That's ridiculous. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And then more of this warning here. He's there in verse 4 to execute. He is a minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. There's another part of this warning. God uses our authorities to execute wrath. And we talked about that a little bit earlier. But God will use authorities to punish you. You disobey mom and dad, he uses mom and dad to punish you, sure. You disobey the local law enforcement, he'll use the local law enforcement to punish you. We quote the verse all the time, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Well, these higher powers, and I'm thinking specifically of these guys back here in the offices that they represent, they are God's ministers to execute that vengeance that he's saying he's going to execute. He's using them to do it. He's using them to do it. They are the ministers of God, is what verse 4 says. Now, with all that being said, I believe that the higher powers are a blessing to us. Our authorities are good. And I'm going to use the example of a little kid again, sure, because we can all relate to it. Because for me, I was just a little kid just not that long ago. I feel fairly young today, so anyway. But what was I talking about? Kids, right? Yes, kids. They will disobey mom and mom and dad will punish them, sure. But how much good does that authority, mom and dad, do for them? Well, they do everything for them from when they're born. They feed them, clothe them. I don't have kids yet, but I'm told they're expensive, right? So we'll look at authority sometimes as like they're a nuisance or a problem, and we don't like them. This attitude of rebellion sets in. Wait a minute. These authorities are here for our own good. Our own good. Maybe you've got a speeding ticket sometime, and it was not fun to pay. But how much good does that local law enforcement do for you? We only dwell on the negative things sometimes, I think. How much better off, how much safer are we because of the local law enforcement? Our authorities are here for good. They're here to help us. Yeah, we might get out of line. We might go 50 down Broadford. Or not. You didn't hear that. You didn't hear that. But here's the thing. That's good when they stop us because it keeps us safer. Authorities are here for good. Verse 7. All this being said, we're going to come to a conclusion here. I'm going to show you guys something here. Excuse me. Verse 7 says, "Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." Starts out with tribute. I think of that like taxes maybe. Taxes are good. They're biblical. We ought to pay our taxes. Like I said, humans can get involved and use taxes for some not good things. I get that, but it's our duty as Christians to pay them. Customs to whom customs is due. I'm thinking maybe that's like tickets or fines. If you get a ticket, just pay it, all right? But above all, at the end of this verse, it says, honor to who honor is due. We started out, the command that God gives us regarding our authority is not just to be in subjection to our authority. Our duty as Christians is not merely to submit and to obey our authority, but it is to honor our authority. You understand, it's very possible to obey authority and dishonor them. When mom and dad tells you to do something, or grandma, whatever, tells you to do something, guys, and you do it, and you do that at the same time, you're obeying, you're submitting, but you're not honoring. Kids do it all the time. Pick up your toys. Fine. You know? That's not honoring. Submitting, maybe, but not honoring. When you're at work and your boss says, "Hey, I need you to do this," you do it, and then go tell everyone else how stupid it is. "I should be the boss. I don't know why he's here. I've been here longer than he has." Just use this example. I don't know. It's very possible to be in subjection but not to honor. And hey, listen, our duty, our command is not just to submit to authority, but to honor authority. The word honor means to regard, to respect, to show dignity towards. with this being Law Enforcement Sunday, if you're stopped or something and you're given a command, I don't know, I guess this probably happens sometimes, guys. If you give someone a command, they do it, but at the same time, you know they really don't want to do it. They might be in subjection, but on the inside, they're not. That's not honoring. But hey, guys, our duty, not just to submit, but to honor. Honor. Give honor to whom honor is due. Hey, we ought to honor the individual person. That's what we're trying to do here today. Right? We're trying to let you guys know we honor you. We respect you. I don't think it'd be a bad idea for all of us to go by individually and tell them that. Do we respect our authority at home, at school? Not just obey them, but honor them. Honor our authority. And I started out by saying we have a serious problem with being in submission, with being in subjection to our authority. I think that stems from the greater problem that we have, and that's the problem of not honoring. You know, if we honored our authority, being in subjection would be no big deal. We honored the ones ahead of us, it'd be easier to obey them, right? We're honoring the person. We're honoring the office. A pastor was telling me that, I think he said it was George Bush, wouldn't even go in the Oval Office without a suit and tie on because of the amount of respect and honor he had for his own office, the office of president. We need to have that kind of respect and honor for our authority. Now, I've been talking for the past few minutes about our authority and honoring our authority. And I think it'd be a shame if we went this whole day without talking about our highest authority. That's God. That's God. Now, God wants us to be right with all of our authority. But the most important thing is God wants us to be right with Him. And let me tell you, if there's never been a time in your life when you that you remember, when you accepted Christ as your Savior, there is no way that you can be right with Him. In fact, God wants us to be right with Him so much that He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, came to this earth. See, we're all sinners. All have sinned, the Bible says, and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. And because of that, we are separated. That fellowship with our highest authority is broken. But the good news is, God commended His love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him, that we might have that relationship with our highest authority mended. And if you're here, you don't know Christ as your Savior, you can't even have a right relationship with your highest authority. God loves you. If He didn't love you, He wouldn't have died for you. You're here and you don't know Him as your Savior. Don't put it off. Don't wait. Trust Him today. And then you can be right with your highest authority. And if you're here and you are saved, you know for sure, yes, if something happened to me, I'd go to heaven. I have made that relationship right with my Savior. Let me ask you, are you in submission to your authorities? Are you being in subjection to your authorities? And if you are you honoring them? Are you showing them respect and honor? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around for just a minute. Maybe there's someone here and you're saying, you know, I have not been submitting, I have not been obeying my authority like I should, but now I know that I need to. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up? Pastor Matt, pray for me. I want to submit to my authority. I want to be obedient. Pray for me. Yes, I see your hands. I'll pray for you. Absolutely. Now, if you're here and you say, Pastor Matt, I've been in subjection, but I know on the inside I have not been honoring my authority like I should be, like God commands me. But now I know that I need to, and with God's help, I'm going to honor my authority. If that's you, raise your hand. Pray for me, Pastor Matt. I need to honor my authority. That's good. Now, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And He wants to save you. That's why He died for you. And if you're here and you say, Pastor Matt, I'm not sure that I'm saved, but I know I need to be. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? No one's looking around. It's between you, me, and the Lord. I'm not saved, but I know I need to be. Heavenly Father, I thank You again for everything else You've done for us. Lord, I ask that You would speak to our hearts on this matter of authority and honoring our authority. And Lord, if there is someone here who's not saved, never trusted You as your Savior, I ask that they'd get that settled today. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you could stand to your feet, heads bowed, eyes closed, we're just